try to say a few things from the side of the Commission on the implementation of the radioactive waste directive, and I will also try and give you some views of what I heard just now on what we can do, and as Patricia said, what we cannot do. And so let's see first of all how we see the picture. So I think that what was presented so far was very much centered on radioactive waste that comes from electricity generation. But radioactive waste comes from many different human activities. And the situation is that we have 16 member states which have operated nuclear power plants, 14 of which are still operating them. We have 20 member states with research reactors, and all the three members of ERDOP that you mentioned actually generate hydrogen waste from these research reactors. And we have one case of a shared NTP. You know that the Krsko nuclear power plant is shared between Slovenia and Croatia. So the problem is a little bit more, let me say, global in the EU than looking at from the point of view of having just the spent fuel from electricity generation. Now we have in the course of the years, and started in 2009, established a rather coherent legal framework for the handling of safety, human protection, emergency preparedness, and nuclear waste. So we have now three directives, plus one, which is important, but is the 2006/117 is a directive. But it's a little bit aside. There's three directives which try to coherently look at the problem. So two of them, the revised safety directive and the basic safety standards directive, the two that you see in the blue circles, are being transposed into national laws by the member states, which means that they are legally binding at this stage, but they are not fully implemented in the laws of the member states. The deadline for the safety directive is in August this year, whereas the deadline for the basic safety standards directive, which is the protection of population and workers, they are both revisions, it will be February 2018. So 2017 will be a very important year for these two pieces of legislation. Now the one which is fully in force, as I think was very well explained, is the so-called waste management and spent fuel directive, which enters into force just after Fukushima in, I think, July 2011, and had to be under Hungarian presidency, if I remember correctly, and it had to be transposed by member states in 2015. So it's a long story for all these, pieces of legislation, with the exception of the BSS, because of I'm not going to tell you, it's a very long story which I'm not going to tell you, but I think it's important to know. There is one thing which is important to know. And the thing which is important to know is that there has been for many years a very different view between the Commission and the Member States on whether there was a European responsibility for nuclear safety and waste management or not. And this discussion was first settled in 2009 with the adoption of the first safety directive. And I think it was concluded in Council in July 2011 when the waste directive was adopted. So these two pieces of legislation, I think it's very important to understand, are fairly new. And there is rather limited experience in how exactly they have to be applied. It's not like environmental law, you know, that exists forever, let me say, in the EU. Here the situation is very different. So I think it is important that there has been, progress in establishing it. Now we are moving into a second phase, which is how, in fact, it has to be applied. And there are lots of open questions. So the scope of the directive, I think it was well explained, is the responsible and safe long-term management of spent fuel and radioactive waste. Applies to all member states, and it takes a rather comprehensive view, the directive. You need to start thinking about the waste from the moment that you start thinking some kind of nuclear facility or a facility that generates nuclear waste. So that, for example, the idea of minimization of the amount of nuclear waste is something which is well embedded in the concept of the directive. And let me also stress that anything which is governed by European treaties in terms of nuclear energy is restricted to civilian nuclear energy. So activities which derive from the military cycle of two of our current member states, they are excluded from the scope of the directive. So I think that I've explained to you that. So what is the situation? What is the situation that we have under this directive? So first of all, as I said, the deadline for transposition was in 2013. We have had as usual, there's nothing unusual, had a few member states which were late. So we opened the first series of infringements against those member states that didn't declare full transposition of the directive. This is done. Then we had in 2015 a second deadline, which is to receive two pieces, which sometimes people mix up. And so I would like to make sure that it is well understood. The first one is national reports. This is a recurring obligation for member states to report on the implementation of a piece of legislation. It's in the case of the waste directive. National reports, they have to say which member states have to say which measures they have taken in order to ensure that the provisions of the directive are in law, correctly implemented. So we have received these from all the member states, and this does not mean that we are fully satisfied with the way that all the member states are implementing this particular directive. We also clarify that a directive is a piece of legislation which sets, normally speaking, objectives to the recipients, to the member states. And the member states are free to choose different ways in which they will implement the obligation. It's not a regulation. A regulation is equal for everybody. You regulate, I don't know, the driving licenses have to have the same format, and then everybody has to do them the same way. Directive is different. So this creates, of course, a number of issues, because you have, on the one hand, the freedom of the member states to decide in which way it is implemented, and so the duty of the Commission is to see as to whether these objectives are fulfilled in a reasonable way. And the second one is also to ensure that there is a reasonable level of compacted implementation throughout Europe. You don't want to have a situation which is very unbalanced, where somebody is doing something and somebody is doing something completely different. It's not correct, it's better written if it allows that. Maybe, but it is a fact. So this is as far as national reports are concerned. Then you have national programs. These are regulated in Article 12 of the directive, which concern the how can I say, the practical preparations that member states have to do in order to fulfill one of the objectives of the directive, which is not to have a burden on future generations, which is created by the fact that we use nuclear electricity today. So there is an obligation to make sure that we benefit from the lights on, are going to take care of the waste. So we have received 22 national programs in final form, and we have I think we have only not received one from Latvia, I think, which is not submitted. All the others are submitted either in draft or in final form to the Commission. In draft form it doesn't count, because the directive says that they have to be approved. Well, many countries, and indeed, and this is my first comment that I'm making on the presentation that I had just before mine, many countries were delayed in their decisions because indeed the interrelation with the environmental law is not 100% clear. So Mr. Kremlis, who is a very nice colleague, can have certain views. He's not the legal service of the Commission, neither am I. So his views is one of them. Yeah. Just to clarify what I've seen on your slide. So the situation is that as I said, that you mentioned Slovakia, that decided to partially do a strategic environmental assessment. There are other countries that have carried it out, and some countries that have not carried it out. So it is one of the things that we will need to reflect upon from this first wave of presentation of national programs. Let me be very clear, the presentation of the national programs is a first, because the directive distinguishes very clearly between national policy and national programs. All the member states already have a policy, but the policy can be anything. That the national program is supposed to be a very concrete tool that brings you step by step to the implementation of a solution for spent fuel and radioactive waste. As you know, probably, there are three member states that have very concrete plans. One is Finland, which is actually digging a hole in the ground. And Schulden repository, which is operational in 2022. And then we have France, which has a law that dates back from 2006, and Sweden, that is also working towards 2030. As far as I know, these are first in the world. There is nobody else which is as advanced at least the scrutiny in going ahead with these plans. The directive also establishes a system of international peer reviews on the way that member states intend to carry out their waste disposal plans. We have been working with the IAEA, and we have, I think, reached an agreement on how to specify a system of international peer reviews. And the first two ones, so it's again a first, the first two ones will be carried out in 2017. This practice of international peer review is an extremely well-established practice for nuclear safety, both in terms of regulatory infrastructure, in terms of operational safety, and as you can see, it is new from the waste sector. So I think that this is a second result that is coming out of the waste directive. The third is that the Commission is going to report to Parliament and Council at the beginning of 2017. At this stage, the current planning says early February 2017. So this report will give an overview on the national programs that have been notified to the Commission, as well as the national reports. We'll identify, let me say, a number of general issues that come out from the different member states. It will be accompanied by two staff working documents, one which goes a little bit deeper into the situation of the waste management in the different countries. And second, by another requirement of the directive, which is to have a European-wide inventory of all the types of waste. So these are the two things. The directive also provides for the Commission to have an individual opinion on each of the national programs. This is something that will follow after the publication of this general report. Key challenges. I am not really going to give you, you know, all the details of what is going to be in the Commission report. But I think that some was already shown. You know, long time frames. How long is it reasonable to have a program, to develop a program in order to take care of the spent fuel and the legacy waste that we have? I'm not answering the question. I'm just putting it forward. I would just like to recall that, as I said before, the directive has one principle, which is that we shouldn't put an undue burden on future generations. So this will be one first legal interpretation of what it means, that needs to be done in this respect. The second, shared solution. It makes lots of economic sense if you think, as I said, that all the 28 member states generate some sort of radioactive waste. You can think about Malta, you can think about Cyprus, you can think about those member states who have just one nuclear power plant, and they still have to dispose very valuable waste. You can think of Austria that has a research reactor and is also to dispose of this waste. Does it make sense that each of them has a repository? Well, as I said, economically it doesn't, but if you want then to go towards shared solutions, the problem becomes, of course, very complex. I make you just one example, which is trying to think of a repository that has to be there for the foreseeable future, a few hundred thousands of years. And what has changed in the past, say, 150 years? So there are lots of issues which are connected to that. However, I think that this is a debate which has to be deepened. It's not a debate that you can leave hanging in the air. And I would like to point you to the fact that also the European Court of Auditors has published on the 20th of September a report on decommissioning and waste, where they pose a number of questions also to the Commission on what we are doing for the issue of shared solutions. And I think that in 2017 we intend to open a debate on that, and I think it's very important that the different NGOs, civil society, and of course the governments and so on, participate to this discussion. The next point is cost assessment and financing mechanisms. I think that I can tell you that in general we have published a nuclear research program on the 4th of April, and we have dedicated quite a dense section on the back end of the fuel cycle on that. But I think that, so let me say we did some basic work there, but I think that we still need to have lots of information from the member states on how they are working on cost assessment and financing mechanisms. One thing that we are doing, we have one member states group, which is the so-called the Commission Funding Group, which was established in 2006. And we are currently enlarging the mandate of the group to work on the financing of radioactive waste disposal. So we want to enlarge and enrich this information also. Comprehensive and up-to-date inventory, this is also some interesting issue because the way in which member states report nuclear waste is very different. It is not according to a single system, so there is lots of translation that has to be done in order to ensure that you have an inventory which is fully comparable. So this is also an area on which we are paying lots of attention. We are also planning a public event in Brussels in June in next year, where I think that we can discuss a little bit more what is the situation after this report. Let me also say that in Prague, in May 2017, we will have the European Nuclear Energy Forum, where we are just starting the preparations, but I think there is full agreement that the issue of waste and the report of the Commission, what comes out of the national program, will be one of the issues to be discussed. So before I conclude, I would like still to take some of the points of the previous presentation, if you give me still a couple of seconds. I think there was one question, which is what happens when a national program is changed substantially. I think the directive is quite explicit on that. It has to be resubmitted. So, as usual, the data is already there. We will need to have a common understanding of what does it mean, substantial change. So, this is one of the things on which, as I said, we need to reach an understanding. First of all, internally, the Commission, we're not there yet, we're looking at the first one. So, first we need to look at the first one, then we look at the substantial changes. But it's clearly one of the items which is on our agenda. Now, in one of the slides that I have seen two things. One was intra-community transfer of nuclear waste. You mentioned France. But intra-community transfers are regulated differently, they are not considered exports. Intercommunity transfers are covered by the free circulation of goods and services in the EU. Many countries in the EU have also an import ban on waste. France is one of those. They reprocess and they export the waste. Finland is another one. It was one of the conditions that they put in the national law in order to build the water repository. So they want, let me say, to handle their own private waste, but they do not want to handle the others' private waste. Then you mentioned dumping. Well, dumping is prohibited since, I think, 1973 with the London Convention. there is quite some waste in the sea. And I can tell you that this is another one of the things that, that we are looking at. I'm not going to tell you whether it's covered or not covered by the directive, because I suspect we are looking into this. But I suspect that, if you want my view, which is as good as the one of Mr. Kremers, my view is that there will be a difference as to whether the waste is dumped in international waters or not. So this is probably going to be. However, as far as I understand, the member states are reporting on the inventory, on the amount of dumped waste in the sea. And as you get, you probably know, the OSPA Convention, the Oslo Paris Convention Committee, is charged with monitoring the levels of radioactivity in the water. My, you know, my colleagues of the Radio Protection Unit, they follow this up, and my understanding is that the amount of radioactivity will be steadily decaying to levels which are not particularly concerning. This is the wait and see. I think I have answered also wait and see. I think that was pretty clear. No undue burden to future generation. So I think that this is all connected to the issue of it's all connected to the issue of the financing. It has to be looked all together. Financing, timetable, disposal, and so on. Thank you very much.